Hallelujah. I forgot to ask you to fill your communication card out, but if this is your first Sunday here, we sure would love for you to fill out that envelope. We could care less whether you give an offering or not. We would like just your name and a little contact information. I just want to say hi and greet you at some point. I hope to be able to greet you before you leave today. If that happens, I'm going to ask my wife to get me a mint. I feel like I've been chewing on the backside of a skunk. So I will try to stay some distance from you today. But boy, I'm going to tell you, God bless your heart. Ask and you shall receive. This church is full of the word. Whew. You guys really do take me serious. Amen. We're in Romans chapter 15 today. We're going to be speaking to you about five verses, verses 8 through 13. And the title of the day's sermon is Jesus Fulfills the Promises. Jesus Fulfills the Promises. So read with me John chapter 15, verse 8. I'm sorry, what did I say, John? I love the book of John. I don't know why I was... Romans 15, verse 8, he says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.'" And again he says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you people." And again, Isaiah says, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Father God, I come to you today, and I thank you for the anointing that's upon the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, just in reading that scripture brings me great pleasure. Father, it just does something to my heart. I love and I worship you, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that all kinds of spirits, Lord, of depression and heaviness, Lord, would be lifted from this congregation today as the God of hope fills us with joy and peace. I believe, Lord, that you want to do an amazing work today. I believe that you want to speak life and cancel death, Father. I believe that you want to confirm your promises of life today to us. I pray, Lord Jesus, may the Spirit of God be unhindered, Lord. May I not hinder the Spirit of God. May no one in this place hinder your presence, your moving of the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd reach down and touch the very hearts of men. Father, where a man cannot, Lord, you can touch the heart. You can breathe life into a dead body, Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would receive life in the Spirit of God. You are a good, good Father. And I love you with all my heart. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer, my precious Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. I don't know if you notice the promises that he said was coming. In Genesis chapter 12, God makes a promise to a man named Abraham, who seemed to be a nobody, quite honestly, but to God, he was a somebody. You may think of yourself today as a nobody, but God thinks of you as a somebody. "I will make you a great nation," he speaks to Abraham. "I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let me say this as a very foundational thing. When the word of God is spoken, it stays in effect. When he says, "Light be," there's light forever. when he speaks the world into existence. Do you know now, because of the Hubble telescope, we know that the earth is still the universe is still expanding? Why? Because God spoke it. Isn't that amazing? When God speaks a word to you, he fulfills the promise. You can bank on it, baby. You can live your life by the word of God. Now, everybody else is going to tell you, don't get too weird now. Don't take that too, you know, you're going to get too religious. Well, I don't want to be religious. I just know he's faithful to his word. Genesis 22, 18, he says later on to Abraham, he said, "Now in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." In your seed. And we look at this and we think, oh yes, Isaac. No. Wasn't Isaac. It was later on down in the seed of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed," singular, "were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds," but "as of one, and to your seed who is Christ." It wasn't Isaac that fulfilled the promise. It wasn't David that fulfilled the promise. It wasn't Solomon that fulfilled the promise. It wasn't all the good kings, all the good judges. Every man fails. It was Christ. He fulfilled the promise spoken back 6,000 years ago when God looked at Abraham and he says, "I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless this nation. And anybody that blesses the nation will be blessed." You don't forget that at election time. Anybody who blesses the nation of Israel shall be blessed. America, the last thing we need to do is turn our back on Israel. We better bless that nation. We better speak high in favor of her. Hebrews 1, verse 1 through 3. He says, God... Now, some people think that Paul wrote this. I don't believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. But you can have an otherwise belief on that. It's not scriptural. I just don't believe this was his writing. I still believe it's inspired. We know it came out of the mind and the spirit of God. So he says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." It is difficult to emulate God. It's difficult. How can I act like God? So God says, "Let me make it easier for you. I'm going to send God and make him flesh. And he's going to be the brightness of my image. He's going to look just like me. He's going to speak my mind and he's going to be me. And you'll be able to follow him. Keep your eyes on Jesus." You may not be able to follow God because he's so high. But Jesus, he walked like you walked. He talked like you talked. He lived and ate, did the same things, had the same desires that you do. Never failed. Because Jesus went to the cross, he was able to say, "It is finished." He completed the work. Remember the title? Jesus fulfills the promises. Say, "Well, that's great and glorious. Praise God for Abraham." No, you ain't getting it. If he filled the promises of Abraham, he will fulfill your promise. He is not a man that he should be mocked. God is not a man that he should lie. Let me tell you, if God walked in this service right now, and I believe he's here, but if he says, "Today is Tuesday, we're all going to look and say, what are we doing having church on Tuesday? You need to be at work. Because God doesn't lie. Whatever comes out of His mouth is true. So when you're sick and you read the Word of God and it says you're healed, you cling to His Word. How dare we take the word of a doctor over the Word of God? Jesus is the expressed image. He's the brightness of His glory. There was a time in this earth, in our world, and I believe some of you have lived through it, when we could take some of our cues from the world. We could look at the world and say, well, they're just. They're people of integrity. They're people of truthfulness. They didn't talk filth all the time. They lived their life. Maybe they didn't even know Jesus, but there was a type of morality in the world. But that is not today. That is not the case. Guys, you turn your news on any time this week. What do you see on the news? You see a spirit of lawlessness that is sweeping across not just America, the whole world. What does that mean? In the last days, you'll have lawlessness. I'm telling you, we're close. We're living close to the edge. You better keep your eyes on Jesus. There's a verse that just exploded in me this week. If I could find it, I didn't. It's just coming alive. It's Colossians chapter 3, where he starts off and he says, set your... Where is Colossians? It's after Philippians. Colossians 3, he says, set your mind on Christ. But look at verse 6. He says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Because of what things? Because of sinful things, the wrath of God is coming. Guess what Jesus did on the cross? He took my wrath. The wrath that I deserved, Jesus bore my wrath on the cross. Guys, can I just say this? God's not appointed us to wrath. We are not going to be here when the wrath of God is poured out. We're not going to be here because we're not sons of disobedience. He took our wrath. It's already been paid for. What kind of a just God would charge us twice? He's paid our wrath. Praise the Lord. Man, when I look, think about it, all I can think about the end times is I'm out of here. I am going home, and there is nothing sad about that to me. Psalms 119:49 sort of went off in my spirit today. David cries out and he said, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Remember the word that God spoke to you, Sheila. Remember the word that God has spoken you and say, what do you mean by that? I mean, when you pick up that Bible and when you begin to read it and something just goes, whoa! That's God saying, that's for you, my brother. That's for you, daughter. Yes. Remember the word that you spoke to your servant that caused me to hope. Why should he remember? Why should I remind the Lord of His word? Because God is faithful to His promises. You can hang on and say, I will not die, but I will live and proclaim the works of the Lord. Are you getting it? I received an email this week that said something like this. I worked for the last couple of weeks and I didn't make nearly as much money as what I thought I would. I received a phone call that says my contract has not been renewed. I don't have a job in the fall. A lady in this church. And then everything changed with one word. You know how she ended that text? Ebenezer. Some of you are thinking, what's Scrooge got to do with that? Ebenezer's not the Scrooge in Scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, when they were going to battle, Samuel looked at the guys, and says, remember Ebenezer. Let this word burn in your heart, Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. When everything is going bad, when the world seems it's turned against you, when every report that's coming in is bad, you say, Ebenezer, thus far God has helped me. Why would I think he's going to stop now? Jesus fulfills the promise. Isn't that great news? Ooh, that gets me going. He upholds things by the word of his power, and he purges our sin. He says, not only have the Jews been blessed, but the Gentiles have been blessed because we've been grafted into that same vine. Let me tell you something, guys. This church does not believe in replacement theology. It does not believe that the church has replaced the Jews or the nation of Israel. That's malarkey. They are still God's chosen people. What's happened is we have come along and we have been grafted into that same vine of life. Pray for your brother, Jews. Pray for them to receive and accept Jesus Christ as Lord. We are supposed to have hope. Hope is such a valuable commodity. Hope is a strong and confident expectation based on a promise. If it's not based on a promise, it's a wish. You can say, well, I'm hoping for a Cadillac. Give me word. Where are you getting that? Right? I'm hoping to have 8 children. God bless your heart. I'm glad that you're open, not my hope. Where's your word? You may have word on that. I'm hoping for healing. Because the Lord says he forgives me of all my sins and heals me of all my diseases. Now you've got hope. Because it's based on a promise of God. I hope that one day I go to heaven. Why? Because I have word on it. That I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things are new. I am the workmanship of Jesus Christ. I may not look like much, but I am God's masterpiece. Glory to God. Say, he needs to keep working. Bless God. He is still working. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25 says, we were saved in this hope. You get it? We were saved in this hope. Why are Christians losing our hope when we've been saved into hope? Because we're listening to a lie. We're living too close to the world. Hope that is not seen is not hope. Our hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Man, Treva and I have just been singing songs about heaven the last few days. Driving to church yesterday, I was just weeping. Because I am so homesick to see him. I am ready to see my master. I have hope that one day, not only will I see him, but I will be like him. Yes. Glory to God. Ooh. No more sorrow. No more difficulty. He says in this last verse, verse 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mighty, mighty, mighty. That is a powerful verse. I love it when God describes himself. Did you catch it? Now the God of hope. God just says, hey, let me show you who I am. This is one of my names. I'm the God of hope. Back up a few scriptures. You remember what he says? I'm the God of comfort. Yes. I'm the God that will envelop you and comfort you and hold you tight. Yes. where you feel safe in the night. The God of hope, He will fill you with all joy and peace. We've been speaking on Wednesday night on joy, pure joy. It's a study of the book of Philippians. I came across this definition. I think it was written who is it? Rick Warren's wife, right? Somebody told me. Jim, didn't use Kay Warren. I'm pretty sure this was her definition. It is now my definition. So, thank you, Kay, for letting me borrow it. Joy is the settled assurance. Listen to that. It's a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Can I just say, it doesn't say that I'm going to praise God when the situation clears. It doesn't say that my ship comes in, I will praise God. No. Joy is saying, I don't care what the situation is. Why would I not care? Why would I not care if I'm having a hard time? My faith is in God. He is my confidence. He says all things will work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Now sink your teeth into that. That's why I can have a quiet confidence. Say, Pastor, I wish I had that kind of faith. You know what I say to that? So do I. Because sometimes it's just a trial. Sometimes you just wake up in the middle of the night and you say, stop thinking that way. Get your act together, preacher. You preach it, now live it. If you think these things come easy because I'm a preacher, you're just fooling. You're just silly. I'm telling you, we gotta fight for some of these things. But the Word of God says the God of hope gives me joy and peace. He's going to give it to me, buddy. I'm going to be in line waiting for it. Doesn't mean my circumstances have to line up. I have never lived a day on this life when everything is lining up. There's always challenges ahead. There's always times when you think, what if? Why do we think the worst? Why do we think, what if this happens? What if this happens? Well, what if God comes through? I believe that's more of a chance than anything. God is on your side. Don't ever forget it. God is on your side. I don't care what comes against you. I don't care what reports you get from the doctor. God is on your side. He says the God of hope gives you joy and peace. Don't live below what God has given you. Let's live in the moment. Did you notice how that verse started? One word. Now. I talk to so many people that they say, I know one day it's going to be all right. One day I'm going to be joyful. One day I'll be full of hope. Now. That's what the Word of God says. Now you can wait for 20 years if you want to wait, but I don't want to wait. I want to experience the joy, the peace, and the hope of the Holy Ghost today. I don't want to wait till this afternoon. I want it today. Why? Because it's based on the Word of God. His Word is what said it. Now, the God of hope, fill you. You. Come on. Come alive, church. Do you realize the Holy Ghost is talking to you today? Yes. Don't live below your means. Live in the moment that God has created for you. Peace is more than the absence of disturbance or hostility. It is free from internal and external strife. To be complete, that's shalom peace. To be complete, sound and have a tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in you." Is it worth fighting for? You better know it is. Have you ever lost your peace? I've lost my peace. I've lost my peace and almost lost my mind. I've lived in that moment. I don't want to go back to it. You know what? I'm not going back to it. I've learned a few things. I learned that God's way is better than my way. That God's word is true. And I can live to the best of Eric's nature, or I can live according to the word of God. I choose His word. I want to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. When someone's going through literal hell and they walking in peace, you scratch your head and you say, "How you doing that?" God's power. The Almighty. My confidence is not in my income. My confidence is not in what I possess. My confidence is not in who I am. It's in whose I am. My confidence is in God. My daddy. Ebenezer. Thus far, God has helped me. Why would I believe that He's going to change? Especially when I have a verse like Philippians 1:6 that says, "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will complete it." Yes. This couple up here had a remarkable testimony. Something happened to them this week. And Tommy said, "Our whole lives changed 3 years ago when we started going to this church. We didn't even know what life was." It's not the church. It's Jesus. When they began to put their trust in Jesus, not a church, not a man, but in Jesus, things begin to happen. And not all of it's been great. It's been a little rocky. They've had good times and bad times. But they had confidence in God. They didn't back off the promise. We cannot back down. There is two powerful words that I think many times we miss. That He would fill us with hope and joy and peace. The next two words, in believing. You get it? My hope and my joy, my peace, it's all tied into my faith in what I believe. Most Christians battle this. Because a lot of times we have a false belief. We're thinking the worst. We're thinking we're going down. We're going under. Jump off the ship. It's going down. No, it's not. Not if your ship is anchored in Christ. Jesus got in the boat and says, "Boys, let's go to the other side." He lays his head on a board probably and went to sleep, maybe on some nets. A worst storm comes up. Said it was sort of like a tsunami. Volcanoes under the Sea of Galilee, and they erupt quite often. And they said that's probably what, because of the wording, that's probably what happened here. So it wasn't just a typical storm. It was a tsunami type of storm. It scared them to death. Those disciples were scared to death, and Jesus was sleeping. Somebody had peace on that boat, didn't they? Why? Because He knew the power of His word. He knew what God had told him, and He knew what He told the other guys. "We're going to the other side. This boat might not make it, but we're going to the other side. See you on the other side." They got scared. They had to wake Him up. What's He do? "Knock it off. Peace be still. Believe." My joy, my peace is in my believing. Am I believing for a good report? Are you? Am I believing that He holds me in the palm of His hands? Nothing happens to a child of God that doesn't go through the cross. He protects us. When you walk through the water, I will be there. When you go through the fire of life, you will not be burned. I am with you. Pastor Ray, I understand you said this last week. He is the fourth man in the fire. You may think you're alone in the battle. You are not alone. He is right there with you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Keep your believing right. You understand the importance? No, I'm one of these Christians that just believes that let Him do it. Let Him do it. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's all you. No, no, no. You're missing it. You're going to be a Christian like this. Oh, I'm great. Oh, I'm down. Oh, I'm great. Oh, I'm down. But when your believing gets concrete into the Word of God, you will be on a steady plane, an upward bound with Christ, because I don't care what you're going through, I know He's with me.
Yes.
Guys, He can change a judge's heart.
That's right.
He can change people's heart. The hearts of the kings is in His hands. He can make evil people do kind things. There is nothing our God cannot do. He hardens and He breaks. God is almighty. He's powerful and He's on your side. If that doesn't excite you just a little bit, something is wrong. Hallelujah. We abound in hope. This confident expectation. I don't know about you, but I think about that little guy on Disney, you know. Who's the one that, Tigger, always. And when I read this verse, that's the way I see it. I'm abounding in hope. Hallelujah. I'm just hopeful. I'm full of hope. I'm abounding in hope. You ain't never seen a Batman bounce before? Are we living to our potential? Are we living to our potential? Christ died to give you something awfully special. But whether you engage in it is your business. I can't make you. I can't come to your house and say, come on, come on, come on. Go with Him now, go with Him. All I can do is preach the Word to you and pray that your heart is... Now that makes a preacher nervous, I'm going to tell you. I immediately want to go like this. That's us. Okay. So much for an altar call. Bless the Lord. May the Lord fill us with joy and hope. Church ought to be a laughing place. It ought to be a place where we enjoy the presence of God. In His presence is fullness of joy. I'm tired of living beneath my privilege. Are you? I want to live in the fullness of Christ. When Christ appears, who is my life? That just always touches my heart. Christ is my life. This church is not my life. Christ is my life. I pray you can say that. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. I want the fullness of God to come through. I want to live in that fullness, not only because I want to enjoy it, but I think this world needs to see Christians that are full of hope and joy and peace. We're living too close to the world. You know it and I know it. We're living too close. Come out from among the world and be separate, says the Lord. He's got a better plan, better choice for our life. We've got to choose wisely. Choose life. Would you stand with me? And if you want to Tigger on up here, you can go ahead. I am putting my certs, my first cert in. And if you greet me in the back, you may say it's time, Pastor, for the second cert. I feel an unction of the Holy Ghost to invite you forward. If you would like for us to pray, we're going to pray one way or the other. But if you say, that's what I need. I need that joy, that peace, and that hope in the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to take time to pray for you individually, but the Spirit of God will minister to you. If you would just step forward, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, not only does He say now for this joy and peace, but He says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Don't wait another day to give your heart to Jesus. There's no other way that you should live. Guys, I think there's things that some people we just need to lay down. There's some things that we need to walk away from. There's some things that we need to say, I've chosen badly. I've made bad mistakes. I've not been wise with my choices. I'm laying it down. I need that hope. I need that peace. I need the joy of the Holy Ghost flowing through me today. Some of you would like to stand behind these that are up here. We want to pray. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you want to. Father God, I have preached your word. I have not added to, I have not embellished. I have just preached your word. Your word that you said you uphold it by the power of your word. Your word is backed by your reputation. It's backed by who you are. Your word never returns void. Your word fulfills its promise. We can count on your word. We're standing here today at a crossroads in many people's lives. What do we choose? Life's been hard. We need your peace. We need your joy. We need a touch of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Jesus, move across this congregation. Touch them, Lord. When they're crying out for you, I pray, Lord, that you would touch them. Your word says that when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Father God, let us be tied to you. Let us be hooked into that vine which gives us life and strength forevermore. Let my belief be right today. My belief that you are a good God, that you come to give me life, life evermore, that Satan is a thief, Satan is a stealer, Satan is a killer, but you are the one that gives life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the life of God that is being dispensed right now into these hearts. Life in Jesus' name. Health. Health in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. Emotional healing in Jesus' name. Stresses of life are coming off. Relief. Hallelujah. As we cast our care upon you. Thank you, Jesus. We bless the name of God. I thank you for the work of the Holy Ghost today. There's no one like you. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you. I trust in you, my Lord. I trust in you, my Savior. I worship you. Hallelujah. Sing the song. Hallelujah.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go.
Yes, you are, Lord.
No one else will do. There's nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. Jesus, and you're all I want. Yes, you're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Yes, you're all I want. And you're all I ever needed. Yes, you're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want. And you're all I ever needed. You're all help me know you are near. Draw me close to you.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Never let me go.
Let the Spirit of God touch you.
Lay it all down again.
Let the Spirit of God touch you.
To hear